listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time for a new segment here on His Time, moving up earlier in the day. We call it Historically Speaking. Our friends over at Concordia Historical Institute here to share with us a little bit about our Lutheran history today. And so joining me in studio this morning, Dr. Daniel Harmelink. He's the Executive Director of Concordia Historical Institute. Dan, welcome to His Time.
Morning, Andy. Great to be here.
It's a little earlier in the day for you guys now, huh?
I'm a morning person.
Well, that's good. And the Reverend Todd Zitlow is an archivist with the Concordia Historical Institute. Todd, good morning.
Good morning.
Good to have you in studio this morning. Looking forward to learning more about Concordia Historical Institute this morning and something very recent with CHI that's about our history as Lutherans. What did you all bring with you today? What are we talking about today?
Today we have some artifacts that we can show to our radio audience. Talking about 2 weeks ago, the special event that we had to put the spotlight on those who have done significant things in the way of research and history in the Lutheran Church. We give out awards to these people, and we had 17 people come together to receive this special recognition.
Well, sounds like fun. So this happens how often? Every year?
Every year, usually in the fall, we announce these, and they're for the writings that are from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we do extensive research into people who are doing writing in the area of North American Lutheran history, mm-hmm. and in some cases invite them to submit their materials to the awards program, and then our awards committee collects all those together and sifts through them in an academic way, and in the end chooses those that they feel are worthy of special recognition. I think this year there was somewhere around 100 items that were submitted,
wow.
either journal articles or books or biographies or memoirs, district histories, congregational histories. It really covers the entire spectrum of North American Lutheranism. And this year we selected 17 out of those 100 to receive special commendation. And those were all celebrated at the awards banquet.
What were some of the topics that were in the 17 that made the lineup? What were the issues addressed in the writing?
Yeah, it's quite a broad range, really. A couple of them tied to World War II. Certainly, the book by Tim Townsend, which is fairly well known, Mission at Nuremberg, was one of the awardees this year, and Tim Townsend was also the speaker for our awards banquet. But we also had a memoir or a biography on Carl Schalk, mm-hmm. Which was written by Nancy Robbie and produced through Concordia Publishing House.
One of our great church musicians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And writers.
That was one of our awardees. The book that came from Trudla Malinkowa, who is from Bautzen, Germany. She edited a collection of essays that focused on Jan Killian, who was the Wendish pastor down in Texas, and still still engenders a great deal of interest and research from his ancestors. And that was Jan Killian, pastor, poet, and immigrant. There was a congregational history that was submitted by Royal Natsky, who was a former faculty member at Concordia, Wisconsin, and he wrote a book called Pioneer Church Records Speak, Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Jackson, Wisconsin.
Right. That was a great book. I mean, sometimes you have congregational anniversaries that it's basically a one-page history of the congregation, mm-hmm. and then favorite recipes from some people in the congregation. But this was it was just a fantastic work. He really did some digging, mm-hmm. and it's a good, solid history and with photographs and everything. So we wanted to, when people call, sometimes they say, hey, we've got 150th anniversary coming up. What are some good examples as far as congregational histories? I think this would be a fantastic one to say, aim high.
Go ahead. He included a lot of indices as well, which mm-hmm. makes the research that he did very accessible, which is a big benefit to an item that's going to be used for research.
What was included in the history that really made it stand out? What were the types of things that he addressed as he wrote the history of you said it was 100?
Well, again, sometimes these histories, they just basically, it's just a very dry presentation of, well, we had a first pastor, and then we had a second pastor, and then we opened a school, and then it's just a list of the teachers and things like that. And I think Royal went into, the personalities of the congregation. And again, it's not just about a listing of what people did in a congregation, but it's how did God work through good times and bad times, mm-hmm. to continue to make this a place where the gospel's preached and the sacraments are dished out.
Looking at a couple other options, there were quite a number, it looks like, of biography or biographical works. Thomas Treadway, who was the president emeritus at Augustana, wrote a biography on Conrad Bergendorf, who was a major figure in the 20th century. And then Gracia Grindel, who was a former professor at Luther Seminary in St. Paul, wrote a biographical book on Sister Elizabeth Fetty, who was a Norwegian deaconess and was involved all over North America, or in the United States in particular, establishing hospitals and other avenues of mercy. So a number of different biographies. And then we also had a history that was written on the LCMS's involvement in Hmong missions. Mm-hmm. The Hmong people are from Southeast Asia, came to the United States after the close of the Vietnam War. They had been America's allies. And so and the LCMS has been involved in missions in that community for quite a long time. And so he put together a nice history of the early involvement of the LCMS in Hmong missions.
Very good. How does the average person come across some of these writings? Is this something that you've recommended, by awarding them, but how does the average person come across some of these pieces?
Well, probably the easiest thing is to visit the Concordia Historical Institute website. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just go to Amazon and type in, Lutheran history, good luck with that. You get all kinds of weird stuff. But we'll provide a list. And for the first time, we had so many submissions or so many people that we needed to consider. We also have a list of honorable mentions that it's like, well, good try, didn't make it, but we want to encourage these people to continue to do research and writing on Lutheran history. So, both of those will be available on our website and also on our Facebook page if people want to take a look. But again, it's like a history of a deaconess. Some people don't even know that there are deaconesses in the Lutheran Church. and here is a fantastic biography of one of the really, founding members, but a deaconess who really move things forward.
Yeah, established entities that became hospitals, a Lutheran hospital, one in New York City. She worked with a hospital that was in the Chicago area and also in the Minneapolis area. And this was very early in the deaconess movement in the United States. So a very kind of foundational, formative figure in early deaconess work in the United States. I was also going to answer your question in terms of how do they find this material. I personally see that as part of CHI's job to bring historical materials to the table, to communicate that to our membership and to the church at large as to what kind of work is being done and to celebrate the quality work that's being done. And so one of the ways we do that is with the awards committee, the awards program, and bringing that material to the awareness of the broader Lutheran church. And then another way that I think we'll probably utilize in the future is I put together a mostly exhaustive biography, a bibliography of work in the area of Lutheran history as well. And that had more than 150 items listed in it last year. And I think it's getting close to 200 already so far in 2015. And so that will, if people access that through our website, through the Facebook page, that will raise their awareness of a lot of the things that are being done. So we can do the hard work for them and they can just come and reap the benefits of our research.
Right. Obviously, some of that's more academic than others. I think, the Tim Townsend book, this is a popular book and maybe a good place for people to start. There are other like the Bergendorf, that gets a little more detailed. So it's like, well, depending on where you are, probably we can. There's a good fit for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about Tim Townsend's book. I know you've talked about it, and I know that it's been on one of our other programs as well. But what was it about this book? Was it Mission at Nuremberg? What was it about this book that stood out?
Well, I think the interesting thing is that the idea for this whole book, one of the questions he was asked at the luncheon we provided is, when is it going to become a movie? But this whole book, it's a Times bestseller and everything else. The idea for this book came from exhibit at CHI. So it was when he was going through an exhibit on LCMS chaplains that he saw this letter signed by all defendants, all these Nazis who were on trial at Nuremberg, to the wife of an LCMS pastor, asking that this chaplain who was ministering to them continue his ministry. And Tim Townsend, who was then a reporter for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, that's to see that letter for the first time. I mean, it's a jaw dropper to see, you know, these kind of evil personified, these people who had done unimaginable things, asking the wife of a pastor, please allow your husband to continue to minister to us. And the words in the letter say, because we love him. And it's just, what? You know? So this gave him the motivation to do more research. I think a lot of the book is from the Gehrke family. Chaplain Gehrke is the LCMS chaplain who ministered to the Protestant defendants. And along with the research that CHI provided, it just became a whole book.
So what are you reading for the next year? Are you already working on reading?
We already have a box that we're starting to put things in, right?
Yeah, the shelf is growing almost on a daily basis. To clarify, Daniel and I do not do the reviewing, and we do not sit on the voting committee for the awards. There's a committee that's designated
for
that.
It's a secret committee. We can't get you out. Yeah,
that's right. But it is, in particular, my job to find the materials that are out there and bring them together and then bring them to the committee's attention and provide them to the committee so they can read through them. It would be an enormous task, so it gets distributed out to the various members of the committee.
And the people on the committee, I mean, these people, they're experts in the field. So this is in good hands.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a couple of that have come in. I know there was a biography done on a guy named Granger Westberg, and he has LCMS roots, and he ended up moving into work in the area of hospital work tied to chaplaincy. So the group he was with was the Church Health Center, which is in Tennessee, and he wanted to integrate what he called whole person care. So I think it's the idea that you bring in the spiritual into the physical care that a person receives in hospitals, and see that as a full focus of your ministry, is to look at the whole person, not just their physical needs, not just their spiritual needs, but both of them are coordinated within the care that they get in a care facility. So that's one that was produced over the last year. I know there was a pastor down in Texas who has collected histories of the Swedish Lutheran churches in Texas. So I think if I looked at the chapters, each chapter kind of looks at the different churches in Texas that have Swedish roots. And he pulled those together in a document this year. So I know we've gotten that one.
Swedes in Texas.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Who knew?
Well, very good. Sounds like some interesting pieces already coming in for the next year.
And we'd also, we made available this monograph by Chaplain Henry Gehrke about his time with the Nuremberg defendants. We'd like to give this to those who request it. So if you want to give CHI a call or send an email to us, we'd be happy to give this little pamphlet to get it into your hands, and you can read about the amazing blessing that Chaplain Gehrke was to these defendants.
Very good. How can we get in touch with CHI?
Phone number is 314-505-7900. Again, 314-505-7900. Or you can visit us at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. That's a mouthful, but
but easy to
just
remember.
Google us. You'll find us.
ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org. Very good. Well, thank you both for being our guest today, Reverend Dr. Daniel Harmelink, Executive Director at Concordia Historical Institute. Thanks for being my guest this morning.
It's a blessing.
And the Reverend Todd Zitlow with Concordia Historical Institute. Thanks for being my guest this morning.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, more His Time on Worldwide KFUO.